And so, my boy, soon after my friends, the senator and his wife, came back from Siberia, and I was free from the obligations I had taken upon myself toward my pet, their youngest daughter, there took place the aforementioned incident, which served as the starting point of my special observations and studies of this maleficent contemporary question. This sorrowful event occurred in St. Petersburg, in another educational institution of the same kind. The headmistress of this institute, finding that one of her pupils had behaved contrary to their famous rules of decency, reprimanded her so harshly and so unfairly that as a result the accused and her friend, two growing girls having the germs of the data for becoming normal women mothers, hanged themselves. My investigations into this case brought the following to light. It seems that among the pupils of this establishment was a certain young girl named Elizabeth, who had been brought by her parents from their distant country estate to the capital, in order that there, in this institution of higher learning, she might receive the most modern education. At the boarding school in St. Petersburg, this 13-year-old Elizabeth became great friends with another young girl named Mary, who, like herself, was not yet developed. That year, on the day of the spring holiday, or as it is otherwise called there, May Day, all the pupils of the institute were taken, according to custom, on an outing into the country. The two bosom friends happened to be in different groups, which were walking at some distance from each other. Out in the fields, Elizabeth happened to see, not far off, a certain quadruped animal called a bull. And not wishing her bosom friend, Mary, to miss seeing this dear animal, she shouted, "Mary, Mary, look, there's a bull!" No sooner had she uttered the word bull than all the what are called mistresses swarmed around this poor Elizabeth, vehemently upbraiding her. "How dare you utter the word bull? Don't you know that quadruped animal occupies itself with what no well-brought-up person would, on any account, speak of, still less a pupil of such a genteel institute as ours?" While the mistresses were berating this poor Elizabeth, all the pupils of the institute gathered around them, and the headmistress herself came up, and having learned what it was all about, began in her turn to castigate Elizabeth. "Shame on you," she cried, "using a word considered so very, very indecent." At last Elizabeth could contain herself no longer, and bursting into tears, she asked, "But what should I have called that quadruped animal, if it actually is a bull?" "The word you have used for that animal," said the headmistress, "is what the riffraff call it. But you, since you are here in the institute, are no longer one of the riffraff. So you should always find out how to call indecent things by names that do not sound indecent to the ear. For instance, when you saw that indecent animal and wanted your friend to look at it, you should have called, 'Look, Mary, there goes a beefsteak,' or, 'Mary, look, there goes something that is very good to eat when we are hungry,' and so forth." And all this made poor Elizabeth so distraught, especially as she was being reprimanded in the presence of all of her friends, that she could contain herself no longer, and cried out with all of her might, "Oh, you wretched old maids, striped hobgoblins, spawn of deepest hell! Just because I called a thing by its name, you instantly begin to suck my blood. Be thrice damned!" Whereupon she fainted, at which the headmistress herself fainted, followed in turn by several class mistresses and inspectresses, who also fainted. As for the class mistresses and inspectresses of this genteel institution who had not fainted, they then raised such a hullabaloo as normally occurs only in the town of Berdichev when the Jewish women are bargaining in the marketplace. The upshot of it all was that when the class mistresses and inspectresses who had fainted recovered their senses, they held what is called a teacher's council then and there in the field under the presidency of the headmistress, and it was decided that immediately on their return to town they would telegraph Elizabeth's father to come for his daughter, as she was expelled from the institute with loss of the right to enter any other similar institution in the Russian Empire. That evening, an hour after the pupils returned, one of the porters of the institute happened to find in the woodshed these two young, as yet undeveloped, future mothers, hanging by ropes fastened to the beams. In Mary's pocket a note was found with the following contents. I am heart and soul with my dear Elizabeth, and no longer wish to live with non-entities like you, so I am going with her to a better world. This case interested me so much that I began privately, of course, to investigate psychoanalytically, from every aspect, the psyche of all those taking part in this sad story. I understood, among other things, that at the moment of her violent outburst, the psyche of poor Elizabeth was in a state of what is called chaos. And indeed it would have been astonishing if such chaos had not existed in the psyche of this 13-year-old girl, not yet conscious of herself, who before this miserable event had always lived on her father's estate, where she had seen and felt the same richness of nature as on that day in the meadows near the city of St. Petersburg. She had been brought to that stifling, noisy city and had been kept shut up for a long time in an improvised cage. Then suddenly she found herself in an environment where every fresh impression awakened memories in her of all kinds of wonderful sensations. On your planet, during the early days of spring, there are sometimes scenes of almost irresistible loveliness. Picture to yourself the following. In the distance, cows are at pasture. Nearby at one's feet, snowdrops shyly peep out of the earth. A little bird flies by one's ear. On the right, a quite unknown bird is singing, and on the left, the sense of smell is quickened by the perfume of some hidden flower. In short, at a moment like this, a being as young as Elizabeth, finding herself in the midst of such an abundance of all kinds of rich impressions, after a long period of oppressive existence in a suffocating city, would experience natural being joy, which aroused in her a whole world of associations. And Elizabeth must have felt this especially keenly, since before attending the Institute she had always lived, as I have already said, on her father's large estate, which lay far from the exceedingly abnormal conditions of urban life. Thanks to this, every new impression would naturally call up in her earlier childhood memories, connected in their turn with various other pleasant impressions. And so it is not difficult to picture to yourself that the sudden appearance of that quadruped animal called Bull, reminding her of the one at home on the farm of her father's estate, and which had enjoyed the affection of all the children, who secretly even took it bread from the table, set off in this impressionable young girl an impulse for corresponding associations, resulting in a feeling of sincere happiness. And since she was still unspoiled by the conditions of being in existence abnormally established there, she instantly wished to share her happiness with her bosom friend, who was some distance off, and shouted to her to look at that dear bull. Now I ask you, what should she have called this quadruped being, since it actually was a bull? Should it really have been beefsteak, as advised by the honorable headmistress of this honorable higher educational institution, created specifically for the education of children, according to that barbarous system existing at the present time, to their misfortune?